Hello, and this is Tim from Two Blokes from Blighty. And before we get into today's main episode, we're going to hear a message from our friend, lovely, lovely Dan from Casting Views. Take it away, Dan.
Into today's main episode.
Yeah, it's been a while.
He's a rusty boy, is what Tim said.
Rusty and round.
Take it away, Dan.
Like a ball bearing covered in spit.
Take it away, Dan.
Fancy taking a humorous trip down a random topic each week? You do? Well, you're in luck. Casting Views, presented by me, Dan, and a host of guests, bring you just that. With topics from the world of entertainment, science, sport, and everyday life, there's bound to be a topic that's going to inform and amuse. Catch Casting Views every Sunday on all listening platforms now.
You sound incredibly resentful.
Interesting. What is this? They stared at me, and the mother said, "It's a baked potato."
I was like, how long am I not going to be able to see for? 2 or 3 weeks? I was like, right, do I need medicine? Nah, I'll sort myself out. So it's not an emergency. No, don't worry. Can I drive? Yep, no problem at all.
Let me tell you that I've made a bad mistake this evening. I like seaweed stuff normally, but not that. I'll see if pain will have then.
Eat my leftovers as I will not give you katsu. If you ever think about buying money online, it's a waste of time. 2 jelly beans and a glass of milk. There is no place on this planet you can ever hide from me.
You sent me a photo the other day saying, my eyes are really dilated and you look like the Mr. Burns alien.
I bring you love. Guess who just got back today? Them wild-eyed boys that have been away, haven't changed, had much to say, but man, I think them cats are crazy. You are listening to Two Blokes from Blighty. I am one of your hosts, Joe Fitzgerald, joined by the tenacious Tim Fitzgerald. How are you doing, Tim?
I'm large. I'm in charge. That's as far as I've got. I'm working the rest out as I go.
Okay, nice. Tim, you're in a new room.
I'm in a new room. I've moved house. It's fun. It's exciting. It's scurry. It's good. It's nice to have an upgrade instead of going from a moldy 2-bed flat in a shit town center to a nice house, 2-bed house with garden in a quiet village
in the not town center.
Not town center.
Nice. Tim, what series are we on?
5, right?
5. I believe. Fucking hell, we should know that.
We should.
Tim, we're on series 5. How much is going to change in series 5?
We're rotating the jingles.
Are we?
Right?
Nah.
Alright, fair enough.
So what's going to change?
Naffle.
Nothing. Well, actually, I thought I'd start with a little bit of culture in Two Blokes and Blighty. So I'm going to read you a poem.
Okay.
I bought a box of wooden soldiers. I bought them from the store, and now 100 tiny soldiers guard my bedroom floor. So if you're a scary monster thing who wants to go to war, my bedroom door is open. I'm not frightened anymore.
That was nice. What's that from?
That's from Bo Burnham's book. You know, his the one he talks about on stage.
Yeah.
It's from Egghead by Bo Burnham.
Any good at all?
Yeah, it is good, actually. I was looking through it, and I think there's quite a few that I wanted to read. But they're like, some of them are quite short, some of them are quite long, but a lot of them are very nonsensical. So this one is called Confession, and it says, "No one understands me." It slipped out in a timid whisper as she combed her beard. And that's the whole poem.
It's so beautiful. I'm moved.
Good, good. Now, Tim, let's move on to the pub quiz question.
Yeah. Easy question for the start of season 5. The continental United States has 4 time zones. Can you name them all going from west to east?
No.
No?
Pacific, Central, East. That's all I've got.
That's 3, but there's one more in there somewhere.
Middle.
Middle. Middle zone.
Mid zone. Yeah. Okay, Tim. What day are we recording this? What date?
Oh, it is the 6th of March, which is a Wednesday.
Oh, cool. It's a Wednesday. So when does this episode go out?
The next Wednesday, the 13th.
Oh.
Good
oh,
band, better, by the way, Wednesday 13th.
I better play. You chose it last season.
I did.
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
It's not awful, this one.
What were the others?
Some definitely outstayed their welcome.
Fair enough. About now.
Yeah, about now. Oh no, it's come back around.
Perfect. Great. Tim, March 13th. It is a Wednesday, my dude.
My dude.
I've got a few days for you, actually. There's quite a few. We'll start with National Earmuff Day.
Okay, cracking start.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay. National Open an Umbrella Indoors Day.
Bad luck.
Is it dampening the start?
It's taken a bit of a downturn.
Okay. National Good Samaritan Day.
Is that like just be a good person?
Just be a nice person.
Okay, yeah, no, I can get behind that. We're on an uptick.
National Coconut Tort Day.
I don't know what that means.
It's a coconut cake.
Oh, I like coconut, but maybe we move past that one.
National Jewel Day.
As in jewelry?
Yeah, just like jewels.
All right, Jules Holland.
And National Canine Veterans Day.
Oh, that one. Dogs. Oh. Give me
and
dogs.
How do you want people to celebrate dogs?
So I know this from a bit of trivia that I read online. If you go to the airport with weed on you, you get to pet the dogs.
I've just sent you a picture of my dog, Pepsi, who went to the groomers today, and now she looks like a little puppy again, despite being 11 years old.
Have a look. She actually looked considerably younger.
Yeah, 2 years off her.
Yeah. You're really 11 years old?
Yeah. 11 years old. Maybe she's 11 on the 10th of April.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just looking through our notes because we have got a lot to talk about.
We promised the listeners a bumper episode, so I think we should deliver.
Where do you want to begin? Because we have got a myriad of things.
I would like to begin with our new celebrity sighting.
Okay.
I've made a jingle for.
What?
I mean, we said in the last one that it's Jeff Goldblum.
It's Jeff Goldblum,
right?
Yeah.
As suggested by the lovely Forget About It, Josh Gar.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
It's a short one.
Hi, my name is... My name is...
People always ask me how I pronounce my name, Goldblum or Goldblum. I always tell them the same thing. How dare you speak to me?
There you go. So what is Jeff Goldblum doing right now, Tim?
But from what I understand from interviews, he's like one of these people that makes you feel like the center of like the entire universe.
Okay.
So I think he should be wholesome this series.
Right.
I am gonna
not
go
punching
with,
Tories like
not punching right. Tories.
Okay.
Not stealing people's breath.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Jeff Goldblum is. I'm gonna say he's helping a stingray give birth to a shark.
Okay.
What about you?
I mean, that will make sense to the listeners in just a minute.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have gone for... Do you want me to go first and we'll pretend this never happened?
No, it's fine. Leave it in. It's fine.
No, because we can segue then.
Right.
I mean, I'll still leave it in. Tim, I think Jeff Goldblum is picking out a new half-and-half shirt to wear for an interview on Jimmy Fallon.
What do you think?
It's a two shirts that you cut in half and then sew together to make...
Oh.
Half and half shirt.
No, it's like a Hovis top.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think Jeff Goldblum's doing?
I think he's helping a stingray give birth to a shark.
That was seamless.
That was
Tim.
Beautiful. I would never know.
No, I wouldn't either. And nor do the listeners.
No.
Or do they? Tim, what the hell are you on about?
So, this was going to be some mad shit that
Hold
I was going to present.
Oh, damn, that's crazy.
Tim, what are you talking about?
I have got a headline here grabbed my attention at the end of last season. Stingray will have miraculous birth with no mate, as aquarium staff believe that a shark might have impregnated it. Now, it's not letting me read the article because, sorry, I have ad blocker.
And hold on, plus you don't want to use the mail online.
Also that.
Shit.
Yes. But from what I understand, this is a tank of stingrays that have only had female stingrays in it, and the only time a male has been introduced into this tank was when a male shark was in there temporarily, and now a stingray is pregnant.
Has anyone checked the gender of the aquarium staff? Because could you imagine the guy who's like, it's pregnant? Oh, wait.
Weird.
There's no men in the tank. Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, the shark. It was probably the shark.
I have to go. My spike is flaring up.
Yeah, it's a miraculous pregnant.
It's weird.
I mean,
I didn't think we'd have the second coming in the form of a manta ray.
Yeah, but I think it would be selfish to assume that.
Be shellfish.
The first coming and the second coming would be the same species. There's so many of them.
I mean, there's nothing to say that Jesus wasn't a stingray already.
I think there is a book that's quite old that quite a lot of people read that might say that he was man.
The dictionary.
The Bible.
The Bible.
The Bible. But, you know, there might be the Bible part two where Jesus is a stingray.
Well, I'm reading what I can around the please allow ads on our website. And what I'm seeing here is the aquarium and lab shark team by Eco noticed swelling on Charlotte back in September and thought it would be cancer. But then they performed multiple ultrasounds and realized that she was actually pregnant. So they thought it was a cancer scare for a stingray, only to find that she's shark preggers.
I like it.
Yeah.
Although sharks have eggs.
They do have eggs. They also have spum, I think.
Spum.
Bum.
Spum. What's spum?
Jizz.
Shark cum.
Yeah.
Is that like shark
fin children?
Sharknado, but it's chism. Wow. This series has gone downhill very quickly.
It has, really. Yeah. What else from our time?
Well, actually, do you know what I'd like to do is to talk about your trip to Manchester.
Oh, Manchester. So, Manchester was a blast. Payne and I went for our anniversary. Mm-hmm. We were supposed to leave where we were living at the time at about 9 in the morning and get into Manchester for 1, but because of flooding by Birmingham, we got in closer to 3. Bit of a stressful journey up. Pesky Birmingham and their floods. Mm-hmm. So we end up checking into, we go to this hotel that Payne has booked, and she did not pick a great location, to be honest. Okay. So she picked, so I want you to imagine hotel,
mm-hmm.
nightclub on the one side,
mm-hmm.
bar that does karaoke Broadway on the other side, and on the other side of that, another nightclub, right?
Do better, Payne.
So
is she sat opposite you right now?
No, she's downstairs playing Skyrim, I think.
Can you just text her or something, just saying do better?
I will do that afterwards and face the wrath.
I don't believe you will. I'm going to send her a message now that just says do better with no context.
So I'm during the delays on the train, I'm reading reviews about the hotel, and I saw some reviews being like, they swiped my credit card for, like, they called it a deposit, but the next day my card details were compromised. Now, we've paid for this hotel in full, and they still wanted to be like, hey, we're we want to swipe the card. And I was like, I'm not doing that. We've paid for this hotel in full. It doesn't say that you have to do that anywhere. And they were like, it should be in your email. And I was like, checkmate, dickhead. And I pulled out my phone, showed them, and was like, can you show me where it says that in the email? Now, keep in mind, this room was supposed to be non-refundable. They're like, ah, okay, well, I can't release the room to you until you pay it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, can we have that in writing, please? Because we're going to need to issue a charge back. And they were just like, no. I was like, well, can I have a refund, please? Yes. So they gave me the refund. And then we checked into this other hotel around the corner, which was weird and quirky. It had a weather theme. So, like, okay. The elevators were all, like, umbrella themed. The lobby, I've got a photo in the Notion page, had, like, some sunglasses separating, like, the elevator and the lounge, which is kind of cool. Our room was like sunshine themed because like they had a rain floor, a wind floor, all sorts of stuff. Conditions must be really awful. It was cool.
Sounds pretty cool. And Manchester is famously the wettest city in the UK.
Is it really?
Yeah, because it's so close to the Pennines. The clouds go over the Pennines and they release their juices over Manchester.
But don't we all?
You find a high enough building. You went, so,
We went to this place called Waku Waku, which is a ramen and sushi bar, where the whole theme of it is that it's all in black and white to make it look like a comic book.
Okay.
Which was, you know, great. And you know what? The food was a good price. It was there quick. It was delicious. Granted, I had a strange combination of it because I just didn't think it through. I was like, oh, yeah, katsu curry and an Oreo milkshake because I'm 31.
Yum, yum. I mean, you've put a picture in our running order, and I have to say, it looks wonderful.
That was maybe £8.
Do you know my favourite thing about it, though? So for the listeners, there's a picture, and it's taken from Tim's point of view. And what you can see is Tim's, it looks like quite a hearty plate of food. There's a chicken in the middle. There's your katsu sauce and your Oreo milkshake. And then opposite, you can see Payne, who has no food whatsoever.
I ate, she didn't.
So Noah. It looks like you went, we're going out. I'm eating.
If I remember rightly, she got like a beef rabadayaki or something. Like it was good.
I didn't actually think that you would take Payne out for a meal and then not let her eat.
Don't underestimate me. After that, we went to Wing Yip, which is the UK's biggest Asian market.
Okay.
A little disappointing because it was mostly fridges and freezers.
Yeah.
But what I did bring you, Joey, was some treats.
Free so, bomb things.
For a bit of live reaction stuff on the podcast, because I know we normally go off a bit of a running order and kind of bounce off that. But what we've got is a number of snacks from this Asian market.
Nice. Nice. So, I would say I'm looking forward to it, but I'm actually dreading it.
Do you want to open one now?
Yeah, I think we should do them all now.
You want to do them all right now?
Well, I mean, it's up to you. We can either do it like a bit now and then we go, okay, and now we're going to try the blah, blah, blah. And
I think we should pace out because we've got a long episode today.
What would you like to start with?
Shall we start with Mogu Mogu?
Is that this thing?
No, that's this thing.
Oh, so tell the listeners how authentically Asian this is and where you bought it from.
These were for sale in Wing Yip, but we got them in Aldi. Basically, it's a strawberry drink with bits of coconut in it.
Yeah.
You're not looking forward to it.
I'm not a massive fan of coconut. And when you say bits of coconut, they're not like little bits either.
It's chunks.
Oh my god! Did your cap do this? You know how like loads of bottle caps loads of bottle caps now have that ridiculous thing where they basically hang off the side of the bottle. And I understand it's recycling, but
I don't know anyone that doesn't recycle the bottle.
Can you
and
not
the cap?
Trust people to just put the cap on afterwards? Either way, boomer moment out the way. So what flavor is yours? Because it doesn't look like strawberry.
It is strawberry.
Oh, it looks bright orange on your camera.
No, it's a strawberry. Okay. Hold on. Well, there we go.
Yeah, these quite large pieces of coconut are disconcerting a little bit, but I'm going into it open mind.
All right.
This is where we find out I'm allergic to coconut. But,
yeah. All right, bottoms up.
Cheers. Do you know what? The strawberry is very nice, actually. The coconut... When I took my sip, and I only took a really small sip, I will finish that.
Yeah.
When I took a small sip, the coconut chunks are so large that two of them came at once and it nearly blocked the drink going in my mouth.
Yeah, I had a similar experience.
Yeah, the coconut's too big. I'm not saying it's bad. I actually quite like it, and I will finish it. Very sweet.
It's very sweet, and I'm also noticing it says on the front here, gotta chew, and I've never seen that on a drink before.
I love to chew my drinks as they go down. Tim, you've also put in the picture with this Asian market, the UK's biggest Asian market, a picture of some Crocs.
Yeah, we found a shop in Manchester that had a massive section of Crocs, but they had like all sorts of varieties. But the ones that stuck out to me, of course, were the Crocs with pockets on the front of them. So there's a literal like zip pouch on the front of your shoes for God only knows what reason.
What would you put in your Croc pocket?
I mean, the only thing that they could really fit, I think, is like a bank card or some keys, and I don't really want to risk kicking that off.
Do you know if someone ever asks you if you can fit something in your Croc pocket, I think you're probably smuggling drugs.
Do you know what I have noticed, though, is that's actually on the bit that's... Oh, no, it's not. I was going to say, it looks like it's on the bit that swings back and forth, but no, it is always on the not. Front of your shoe.
It's not. Do you know that bit on a Croc that swings back and forth? So yeah. You can either have it on top of your foot or behind your heel for a bit more stability. What would you call it? That's what I wanted to hear. So I would call it that, but Gen Z think that's a real boomer joke.
I mean, the boomer joke is that you leave one in sports mode and one in not sports mode and you go in circles.
That's a good joke. I like it.
Hit that, boomers.
keep going, Manchester.
Manchester. So what else? We went to this whole marketplace called Afflex. It's a lot like the Oasis Market in Birmingham, but across like three floors.
Just explain to people what that is.
Alternative, mostly goth and punk stuff, but like some hippie shit, a lot of independent trade, a lot of holistic stuff. Joe's taking another swig and grimaced at coconut.
I had to chew it that time. That made it thoroughly less pleasant. Sorry, carry on.
But we also went to this place in there called the Animade Cafe. Which is exactly what it sounds like on the tin. It's supposed to be emulating a traditional Japanese anime girl made cafe.
The cartoons that you watch.
Well, the people who are running the cafe are dressed in maid outfits and they bring you drinks. They make custom drinks. They say
how can we serve uwu?
Uwu.
I felt dirty just saying that. I spent ages thinking about how I can fit uwu into tea or coffee.
But they basically make it's a brew-woo. There's the joke.
Oh, it's so easy.
There it is. So we went to that.
There's a light in there that says everything we do is driven by anime.
Yeah, they also had a really cool Gundam light, but these people were constantly in the way of it.
Did they take that everything I do is driven by anime light from Slade's house?
Possibly. Slade, if you want to know where that's gone, Manchester.
It's in Manchester, mate.
But it was actually really cool, and it was actually reasonably priced for what it was. Like, I wanted to go in there to be a little bit cringe, and like you can get a package where you can get like a cake and a milkshake and a photo with one of the maids. But I was actually going to just like hover hand the whole time, just to really lean to the cringe.
Was there anyone else in there? It looks very quiet.
So when we got there, it was quiet because you can get board games and stuff. That's what Payne's doing in the background.
Okay.
But by the time we left, it was pretty busy.
Really? And what was their target audience?
Weebs and smelly weebs. That's why I was there. but it was good. If anyone happens to be visiting Manchester and fancies a bit of a laugh, go do that. It's cool. In a very cool, cringy, self-aware kind of way. They know exactly what they're doing in there.
Good for them.
What else? We went to this bar. Called Pixel.
I've heard of Pixel. Pixel looks very fun.
It's fun. You basically hire a booth and they will set up whatever console you want, be that from like I think as far back as the N64 to PS5.
Nice.
And you just basically book it for like 2 hours and drink and play video games with your friends. It's a really good time. We played a lot of Ultimate Chicken Horse, if you've ever played that.
No, I've seen it. I've never played it.
It's very, very fun.
I would go there and ask for something stupid like Snowboard Kids.
Funny enough, we talked a little bit about Snowboard Kids while we were in Manchester, because do you remember the hidden character, Shinobi?
No.
He was the golden ninja character you could unlock with a cheat code. So we just played a lot of that. We had these things called Chocobo Cocktails, which were basically
Chocobo
like...
Chocobo being from Final Fantasy.
Yeah, Slade's favourite game. And it was basically like an espresso martini, but with white chocolate liqueur, And at this point, the northern boy was with us, and he had a drink called a Mishima Zaibatsu, which is named after Tekken, and it's like an old fashioned, but with some sort of twist on it. I don't remember what it was exactly, cum. But yeah, it was full of cum. So after that, the same evening, we went to a speakeasy called the Wash House. I've written it as washroom, but that's the toilet.
Well, the next line actually has something about
it does have something about a toilet, but I'll get to that in a second. I promise it's not sinister.
Tim shat on the walls.
Oh, absolutely. So this place, the Wash House, is operated out of a laundromat, and you go into this laundromat and you pick up the phone, you press these two buttons on the phone, and you talk to the other person on the other end. You'd be like, oh, you know, I'm doing this, that, the other. And
do you have to give a password to get in there?
I think depending on the day you do. Okay. Now, I've been to a couple of speakeasies before. I really like a speakeasy. Okay. Have you been to one or?
No.
Ah, they're fun. But when you say the things on the phone in Wash House, the vending machine at the back swings open and reveals a door. And you go up the stairs into a conspiracy-themed cocktail bar.
Nice.
Which was really fucking cool. So they had someone come out and they gave us these it looked like a government dossier. Like completely like the string wrap on the envelope and everything.
Okay.
So really committing to it. They gave us these and sat us down at a table, and you open them up, and I wish I'd put the pictures in Notion, but I've only got them on my phone at the minute. They give you like essentially a series of menus, but it looks like redacted government documents, and all the drinks are named after different conspiracies. And they detail some of the conspiracy, like redacting some things. And then you have to like find the ingredients on the page. So like, it's like you're proper scouring this document.
So you have to work for your drink is what I'm hearing.
A little bit, yeah. They had this one drink at the back called a Cicada 3301, named after the Cicada Killer conspiracy. And inside the picture of the cicada, there's a QR code that you have to look for. They don't tell you about this, but you look for this. You scan the QR code, and you have to find the password. It turns out it's 3301 at the top.
Yeah.
When you put that
You've ruined it for everyone that's going to go there now.
Well, you'll thank redacted. You for saving... Yeah, beep. When you do that, you get access to a further secret menu. It's just wild shit. So they started off with a round of a drink called Rum Gives You Wings, which is like a rum shot with Red Bull foam on it. Now, yeah. I love rum. It's my favorite drink. I like Red Bull because I'm a cretin. And it was delicious. Payne didn't like it, but she doesn't like energy drinks. Alex liked it. Okay. We then ordered...
Well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, is it?
2 out of 3 ain't bad, ain't bad. We then ordered our drinks. First round of drinks, I got a drink called A Birds Aren't Real.
So I love this conspiracy that pigeons aren't real. They're just cameras set up by the government to watch everyone. Because everyone says they've never seen a baby pigeon.
It's convenient how they forget like what a run-over bird in the road looks like. There's no cameras in there.
It's never a pigeon, though.
No, never could. It's a decoy. I don't remember exactly.
That they've painted up to look like a squash pigeon.
Yeah, they've got a seagull and just... so basically this is like a very like pineapple mango cocktail, but it comes in a bird's nest complete with like a fake pigeon on the side.
I like it.
So what they do as well, when they bring you out your drinks, they give you like a proper rundown of what's in the drink and like how it's made and everything. Like it's a proper presentation with every drink.
That's nice.
Alex got one called a chemtrail.
Now can I ask about this one?
Yeah.
Is this the conspiracy theory I think it is?
Yes.
Chemtrail. This is... okay. All right. I don't know what that is. I thought it was something else that I'm not going to say.
Oh, no. So the chemtrail conspiracy is something to do with, like, planes flying overhead over, like, US cities, poisoning the air.
Okay.
Yeah.
And is that... Sorry, did that come with a vape?
So that vape, I'll get to that in a second. Alex's drink was a whiskey-based drink. And it came on a block of wood painted to look like a bit of runway and a model plane. Mm-hmm. And it came with this vape that had no nicotine in it, but it was all whiskey. So you're vaping whiskey.
So did that get you pissed?
I assume so, because like you're breathing into your lungs and your bloodstream, I'm assuming.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty fucking cool.
I think I'd order it just for the horrible vape.
And then Payne got a alien abduction. Now, this one I think was the most dangerous drink of all because it tasted a bit like a lavender milkshake. And also, you could not taste a single bit of alcohol in that. Like, it was in there. Looking at the menu, there was definitely alcohol in there, but you could not taste it.
Or, here's a conspiracy theory, they've just taken out and they're selling cheap
shit.
It'd
be very fitting.
Very expensive.
So Alex then, so round two of drinks, we then got Alex got a Castrodo after the Fidel Castro various conspiracies.
Yeah.
It came in this really tall, how do you describe it? You know, in a lot of these fantasies.
Glass.
Well, no, it came in another thing. So you know those films, like you know, like in Disney films where they've got the flower in the vase and they have the glass thing over vase.
The
it was one of them, a cloche, like a glass cloche. But it came up with one of them, and it was full of fake smoke to emulate a cigar.
Cool.
So Alex's Castrodo came in that glass cloche full of fake smoke. And it also came with a chocolate cigar and the drink sat in a glass ashtray. So,
nice.
Very fitting of Castro theming.
Very classy.
It is. Payne got a drink called a Polybius, which is a conspiracy. That's themed around, like, essentially, in the 60s, the government were supposedly putting arcade machines into arcades to essentially gauge how people react to certain situations and to almost prep them for war. Making the game addictive, giving them, you know, set things. And then right as war was coming around, take the machine away. So that one came in like a little glass arcade machine, which was neat. Nice. And then I got a drink called a Panama Papers, which came in a traditional martini glass, but also came with a tiny little briefcase full of chocolate coins.
Aww.
It was cute.
That sounds good. So Tim, do you mind me asking, how much was a drink in this place?
I don't know what the individual amounts were, but the total bill, because I got the bill for this, for six
cocktails. You sound incredibly resentful.
No, because I'm trying to remember how, because Payne, no, Alex got the drinks at Pixel, I got the drinks at Wash House, and Payne got dinner.
Okay.
So this
came
was eight,
£300.
Came to 86 quid.
So not cheap.
Not cheap, but do you know what? Not terrible either.
Like 15 quid a drink, Tim.
I know, but like it's you go for the experience, if we're being real. So I'm about to drink more coconut.
Yummy. Make sure you chew it on the way down.
Then we just went for some incredible ramen at this place called Shoryu. And then we came home and moved house.
Nice. Very nice. What was your favourite bit? What was your highlight of Manchester?
I mean, it's got to be the Wash House. I really like a speakeasy. I've only been in a couple before. I really like the one in Bristol on Park Street, if anyone knows that. The whole thing with that is there is a phone booth on by the, and if anyone knows Bristol, by the Banksy painting on Park Street on the bridge. This phone booth is often looks like it's out of commission, but if you go in there when the light is on and lift up the phone, a door will open to your side and you can go into a speakeasy.
Nice.
Really cool. I just like that kind of thing.
How many people do you think get in there drunk and pee in it?
A lot, I'm assuming. It's an open phone booth. There's no door on it.
Hooray. Sounds great.
All right. Piss well.
Piss well. And you'd recommend Manchester?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm definitely going back.
Yeah. Is that your first time?
Never been to Manchester before.
Nice. Go and see a gig at the Manchester Apollo if you can. Manchester O2, sorry. It's a really cool venue. Jenny and I went to see Gaslight Anthem there, and it's got this really cool thing where the standing area is you walk in and the stage is lower than the door that you walk in on.
Oh.
The whole floor is slanted towards the stage,
so
no matter where you're, well, basically, yeah, but wherever you're stood, you get a really good view of the band. So
that's sick.
Yeah, it's very cool. Tim, I chose Manchester. What do you want to do next?
Do you know what? You've written here and you sent me an image. Yeah. You've written Joey's fucked up eyes because you sent me a photo the other day saying, my eyes are really dilated and you look like the Mr. Burns alien.
Yeah, I look like the Mr. Burns. I bring you love. you want to know what happened?
Yeah.
I went to get my eyes checked.
Oh.
That was it. Now, so about a year ago, I woke up and had a blind spot in my right eye.
I remember.
I think I've spoken about it on the podcast.
Yeah.
But for those who didn't know, I woke up and there was probably a third of the vision in my right eye was completely like greyed out. It was a grey circle. It was quite scary. But I went to the hospital and the guy went, "You're fine." I was like, "I don't think I am fine." "No, no, you're fine." And I went,
he was like an Eastern European dude, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. He had a very thick accent as well, but I don't want to be cancelled, so I'm not going to recreate it. he said, "Yeah, it's just a swollen optic nerve. You'll be fine." I was like, "How long am I not going to be able to see for? 2 or 3 weeks?" I was like, "Right, do I need medicine?" "Nah, I'll sort myself out." "There's not an emergency." "No, don't worry." "Can I drive?" "Yep, no problem at all." The thing I don't think I did tell you is I picked Chris up to go and see the football that night.
You did tell me this, and you're like, just so you know, can't see out my right eye.
Once he'd shut the car door, I was like, "Just so you know, I am temporarily blind." but we survived. But they just checked it. They put eye drops in to dilate your eyes. And honestly, the picture I sent Tim, my pupils are so dilated you can't see any of my iris. it was so weird, Tim, because so the ophthalmology department in the hospital I went to, they obviously keep the lights down because it's a really common thing that they do.
Sure.
And I thought, oh, this is fine. This is fine. What was really weird, actually, I was looking at my phone because I had to text Jenny to collect me because I couldn't drive once they'd done this. I was looking at my phone and I sat in the waiting room and I text Jenny and I was like, oh, this is so blurry. Not helping. And I took my glasses off. And Tim, I could read properly with my glasses off. It was really strange.
That's very weird.
But I texted her and then I got outside and it was slightly bright and I felt like a vampire. It was fucking horrible. but there was like rays of light coming off of everything wherever I looked because my pupils couldn't adjust to the light levels. It was very strange.
That's very unusual.
But it was good fun. Tim, I have something I want to talk to you about. I've written it in the running order. It's quite long, so you have to bear with me.
All right.
Joey's favorite today, I fucked up story.
All right.
So TIFU is a Reddit today I fucked up. And people just write a post. Tim, I know you know this, but for any listeners that don't know it, they write a post just about how they fucked up. And this one had me howling. It was so funny.
It's so like the hamster exploding story level of howling.
I think it's funnier than that.
Oh, wow.
It's quite long, but bear with me. I'm not going to give you the title because it'll give some of it away. Are you ready?
I have a suspicion that I know what it is.
Okay, give me a like one word that will help me.
Is it potatoes?
No.
No, okay. Or tomatoes.
Okay, no, it's not. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
Okay, last night, my wife's boss from her brand new job invited us over for dinner. On the drive over, my wife reiterated to me many times how important it was to make a good impression.
I know this.
I scoffed and arrogantly informed my silly wife that I always make good impressions. My wife's boss is a single lady in her 50s, so it was just the three of us. We chit-chatted over drinks and salad and seemed to be hitting it off. She laughed at my well-timed, perfectly appropriate jokes, and the wife seemed pleased. Soon, she brought out the main course, a nice, big, juicy steak for each of us. Yum yum, Tim. As I began to cut into my steak, I was discouraged to discover how undercooked the steak was. Now, I've had my fair share of rare steak, but I prefer medium. I can handle rare, but this was several minutes on a hot grill short of rare. I probably could have resuscitated the cow if I had tried. Instead, I sat there and fidgeted with my knife and fork, worrying about how I was going to get away with not eating this steak. Claim veganism? No. I'd already feigned great enthusiasm upon seeing the steak. Just then, our hostess excused herself to the kitchen to take care of some dessert preparations. As I looked across the fancy dining table at the open window of this third-story apartment, a cartoon light bulb appeared over my head. I knew I had to be decisive, Realizing she could return at any moment, I committed. I grabbed the steak in my hand, gently shook off the juice, and executed a perfect throw right through the center of the open window. Here's the big time fuck up. The window wasn't open. It was the cleanest fucking window you've ever seen in your life. That is until my mostly raw slab of steak slammed up against it and slowly slid down, leaving a trail of bloody juice in its wake. My wife, whose steak was nice and medium rare, was unaware of my predicament. She turned, jaw dropped, and stared at me like I was an alien from another planet. The look then slowly morphed into more of, there is no place on this planet you can ever hide from me, expression of demonic anger. My wife's boss heard the thud of the steak on the window and came back quickly. She took in the scene. The steak sitting on the windowsill, the blood trail, my empty plate. And then gave me an inquisitive, puzzled look. I just didn't know what to say. It felt like a minute of silence, but it was probably 3 or 4 seconds. Finally, the best I could manage was, I'm so sorry, I'm such a klutz. I don't know, I was just cutting it and it slipped. Ask my wife, I really am a klutz, right, honey? No help coming from this direction. I'll clean it up. I'm so sorry, etc. Nearly done. Both women continued to stare at me like I'd escaped from the loony bin as I smeared blood around the window with my cloth napkin. I dusted off the steak and continued to mutter my incoherent explanation. I knew no one was buying the story. I knew what I had to do. I sheepishly returned to my seat and proceeded to eat every bite of that disgusting, cold, chewy, bloody raw steak. I remained pretty quiet for the rest of the evening. My wife's only two words to me since the incident have been, I'm fine.
Oh, good.
God, I love that story.
It's pretty phenomenal. I mean, that would be the excuse I would go with as well, as I was cutting it and it slipped.
I just love, I'm such a klutz.
It's not the one I thought of, so I found the one that I thought of.
Okay.
If it's ever helped you. Again, yeah. I'm not going to read the title. Okay. I'm just going to read the story. Let me tell you that I've made a bad mistake this evening. My girlfriend, who, let me tell you, is my second girlfriend of all time, said I'm invited to dinner with her and her parents. I was very aghast, nervous, and bashful to be invited to such a situation, but I knew it must be done. I met them nicely, and I should tell you it started off in a good way. The idea slapped into my mind that I should do a comic bit.
I know this story. This is really funny.
It's great. That I should do a comic bit to make a good impression and become known to them as a person who is amusing. When I saw that baked potatoes were being served, I got the idea that it would be very good if I pretended that I didn't know what a potato was and that it would be very funny. I'll tell you now, it backfired in my face. So the first potato became on my plate. I acted very interestingly towards it. I showed an expression on my face that seemed to suggest I was confused, astounded, but in a restrained, curious, and interested way. They did notice and seemed confused, but did not remark. So I said, interesting. What is this? They stared at me, and the mother said, it's a baked potato. And I was like, oh, interesting. A baked, what is it again? And she said, a potato. And I was like, a potato? Huh, interesting. I've never heard of a potato. Looks pretty good. She then didn't see that I was clowning, but thought I really did not know what a potato was, so I knew it would be very shaming and humiliating and depressing and disgusted if I admitted to doing a bad joke. So what I did was act as if I did not joke. I think this person's English is a little bit broken.
Yeah, no, it's definitely not their second first language. Sorry.
So what I did was act as if it was not a joke, but I had committed. I'm going to skip that sentence. It's all over the place. They asked me in a very incredulous manner, did I really not know what a potato was? that I'd never heard of a potato, and I went with it and told them, yes, that I have never heard of a potato. Not only have I never eaten a potato, I've never heard of the word potato.
Fucking hell.
This went on for a bit, and my girlfriend was acting very confused and embarrassed by my fucked up antics, and then was more insistent. So I was there more insistent about not knowing what a potato was when the parents started thinking I did know what a potato was. Well, let me tell you, I had to go 100% commit at this point. I would not admit to not knowing what a potato was. The father began to get annoyed. At one point, he said something like, enough is enough, you're fucking with us, admit it. And I said, sir, before today, I have never heard of a potato. I still don't know what a potato is, other than it is some kind of food. I don't know what to tell you. He then got very annoyed. I decided to take a bite of the potato, and I made a very high-pitched noise and said, tastes very strange. That is when the father started yelling at me, and the mother kept saying, what are you doing? And my girlfriend went to the other room. Finally, I heard the father say I should get the fuck out of his house, and that it was irrational to treat me like this because I had never heard of what a potato was. Let me tell you that he did not take it kindly. Now, in text messages, I've been telling my girlfriend that I don't know what a potato is, and the only way I can ever get out of this is for them to buy that I don't know what a potato is. I wish I'd never started, but I can't go back. I think she will break up with me anyway.
I just love in that one how much he's bought into it. Like, yeah. There's a point very early on where he's like, yeah, I shouldn't have done this, but we are too far down the line.
In for a penny. Shall we try another Rachel snack?
Yeah, I love the Tfue today. I fucked up subreddit. I might bring them in more regularly because
they're fun.
They're so funny. What do you want to go with?
So we've got a choice of Dream Animal seaweed flavored biscuits.
Oh, I want some of them. Let's do them.
All right, hang on. Let's get this open. So talk, these look like animal these. Crackers. Is what they are. I've just opened it up, and the first word I saw was cock. Sorry, bear cock to be exact.
Bear cock. Okay, cool.
So. Sorry, audience, this is going to sound amazing. There we go. So these are a bit like animal crackers, if the Americans are listening, but they have bits of seaweed in them, and this one has the word parrot written on it.
Is it a parrot?
I think so. It's either that or a sausage link.
This is going to be horrible to edit, isn't it?
Do you want to give the audience a good crunch? Oh, I don't like them. Fucking hell.
That's a fur seal.
A fur seal, also known as a sheep. No, I don't like them.
I quite like them.
I like seaweed stuff normally, but not that.
I will finish them. They're good. I like them.
I'll see if Payne will have them.
eat my leftovers as I will not give you katsu. Tim, I want to talk to you about something. It doesn't happen very often when in life you find a golden nugget that is so big that you can wrap your fingers around it and not meet them on the other side, and you think, I don't know what to do with this. But Tim, we had that, didn't we?
In the UK,
we don't find, Tim and I don't talk that much about the running order between shows, but this we spoke about because this is unbelievable. Tim, I received an email on the 19th of February. I received an email from a heroic man, someone who I look up to greatly. My idol. I told him he's my idol.
Yeah. Meet your heroes, kids.
Tim, who did we receive an email from?
The one, the only, Gaetano.
We got an email from Gaetano's Cheesesteaks.
Oh.
And my excitement when I got it was immeasurable.
Yeah, I believe your exact words to me were, holy shit, holy shit.
Well, it was more like, holy shit, oh my God, Tim, I have the best thing for you. Not only the fact that we got this email, Tim, there's follow-up. So let me read the email from him. The one I sent to him, yeah. I said, hi, we love your reviews on Google. Your reviews have become a regular section on our podcast, and I regularly refer to you on the podcast as my hero. We wondered if you sold any t-shirts that we could buy. Also, would you send us a scathing review that I can read out on the podcast, Two Blokes from Blighty? Thanks so much, Joey and Tim. The response.
Yep.
Hey, fellas. I guess our reputation precedes us. Glad to be of service, but certainly no hero here. He goes on to say that they sell T-shirts. $25. I haven't got back to him yet. We're going to do it after this episode. What kind of review are you looking for? Every response is on our Google reviews. And then he gives me a Facebook page, which has no reviews on, which might have some responses. But typically, people will delete their review on there when we respond. We've been locked out of our Yelp account for years, and almost every replied review was deleted by their, in quote marks, proprietary software for bullying or inappropriate responses, which I can believe. Now, Tim, this is where it gets good. He says, if you guys would like to do an interview or have some questions, we can probably arrange that as well.
So, audience.
For some reason, people love this stuff, although we only intended to call out the liars, the internet, and internet tough guys. It's certainly taken a life of its own. You can reach us here. And then here's the confusing bit. His name isn't Gaetano.
No.
It's Bill.
Yeah. That's a Bill Gaetano.
Thank you, my hero. It was amazing to hear from you.
I want to know, A, if the audience, first of all, have any questions.
Yeah.
And B, would the audience want him on for an interview?
Yeah, I don't know how possible the interview is, being totally honest with you.
No.
But I can certainly get back to him and ask any questions. So if you hear this and you're excited as I am, let us know what you want Gaetano to answer, because we will. Sorry, Bill. To answer, because we'll include it. I'll get them over to him. Let's say, should we give people a deadline? Just pop them the questions in our Discord by the 15th, Friday the 15th.
Get a couple of days in.
And then I'll send it over to Gaetano and we'll see what he says. Oh, Tim, I was so excited.
I know, you were beaming. I've sent you a Gaetano review, by the way, if you want to read the...
Where have you sent me that?
On Discord. If I could ask you to read that.
It's not come through.
Has it not?
Where did you send it?
Oh, do you know what? I'm stupid. There you go. From Dom Koch.
From a week ago.
This is his latest review.
So, I've only got Dom's review.
Yes, I'll read Gaetano.
Okay. The food is just inedible. There was dental floss on my cheesesteak, and don't get me started about the owner. What? I don't feel right saying this. One absolute slob was cursing at the customers and smoking inside the place. Oh my God, there's no punctuation in here.
No.
Was cursing at customers and smoking inside. This place needs to be shut down by the FDA, just a disgraceful health hazard. I hope this place believes in God, because they better get to praying in order to keep customers walking through the door. So, Dom, you sound like an asshole.
Yeah, fuck you, Dom. The response from Gaetano, the man, the myth, the preacher, is... Are you naturally this stupid, or do you put effort into getting to this level? We read all of your reviews, and clearly you have mental, emotional, psychological, and typographical issues that you need to work out. Don't worry, we'll pray for you and your parents.
Oh, Bill. What a guy.
The ending there, the cherry on top.
Oh, I love him.
Yeah.
I think he's wonderful. Congratulations, Gaetano. You have touched my heart.
But for real, for the audience, if you have any questions for Gaetano, let us know. If you'd want us to get him on for an interview, I think we should try our best to do that.
Yeah.
It's not a guarantee.
I'm too scared.
Oh, I'm not. I lean right into this shit.
Okay, cool.
Good.
Nice.
I want to talk about Helldivers, Joey.
Oh, Tim, let's talk about Helldivers.
Oh, my God, it's so good.
That's the end of that section.
That's it. When I was moving house, I didn't have internet, or I had internet, but I didn't have a computer for about a week or so, and I saw you guys having fun shooting bugs and robots. And you know that SpongeBob meme where Squidward's in his house looking down at everyone having fun? That was me.
So can you just explain to the listener who may not know what Helldivers is, what Helldivers is?
Helldivers is a PC game that is very much tongue-in-cheek in that it's like overly patriotic. Like if you look at Starship Troopers, it almost they were like, it looks like they were like, oh, this, but a game.
Yeah. Well, there is a Starship Troopers game. I think Helldivers is exactly what that game should have been.
Correct. But they also threw in like some Terminator shit as well, which is very cool. But you play as soldiers for the colony of Super Earth. And essentially, everyone in the world is playing the exact same game as you, which is a really cool concept. But you and up to four friends will go on missions on different planets and in different systems in different galaxies to help liberate and conquer planets for resources and for, you know, reason X, Y, or Z. But the success of your missions and the success of everyone in the world's missions dictates how everyone else's game is going to go, which is a wild concept to begin with. But you fall down in these pods, and you're armored. You've got your cool cape, which shows you've done your training, and you just go and shoot the shit out of some bugs or some robots or arm a nuke or stop a illegal broadcast or trip over a school kid. Whatever the mission is. It's just you and your friends larking about on a planet with the most explosive and intense Battlefield-esque simulator that I think I might have ever played.
Yeah, it is unreal.
It's so good.
But the thing is, I think there's enough... It seems like a fairly basic concept.
Yeah. Right?
You play five or six set missions over and over again, whether you're fighting bugs or you're fighting the robots... The mission types are the same, but the variety in gameplay, I've never had a game that feels the same twice.
No.
And I think that's down to each weapon actually being usable and fun. They have these things called stratagems, which are like big weapons, like airstrikes or nukes, or you can help bring in grenade launchers or... drones or mortars, and every single time it just feels epic. It's like playing an action movie.
Yes,
it's so unbelievably fun.
Have you seen it's the number one sold PC software this week?
That doesn't surprise me.
Not just gaming software.
Yeah, it does not surprise me. That happened when Dark Souls 3 came out.
Correct. Yeah, and I think Elden Ring as well. Which, by the way, I've been getting like well back into.
Really?
Oh yeah, I'm in anticipation for the DLC. I've just beaten Renella, the moon, which with my new bleed build.
Your blood build.
But to go back to Helldivers. It's just stupid. Like, it's not turn your brain off, because you actually have to like focus on the mission, like your resources, because you have a number of limited respawns, and you've got to focus on the timings for your stratagems and like how much ammo you've got and what ammo and like health packs your friends have got. Also, what's just happening in the universe? You've got to be aware of like where you're needed, which is really cool.
Do you want to speak about Joel?
Joel. Joel is a guy that works for the developers of Helldivers, whose entire job is to be like a D&D DM, but for Helldivers. So depending on what's happening in game, he will just try to fuck with you in some way. In some ways, great and like significant, and other ways, very, very small. So sometimes you'll just be like, oh, there's a lot of Bile Titan missions, which are like Bile Titans being like these massive enemies that just like vomit toxic stuff. And then other times it'll be like, nah, we're boosting like a ton of robot spawns. Like if you go on a robot mission, you die, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fun.
It's just so fun. I think it feels like a callback to the Xbox 360 era of multiplayer games.
Yeah.
And it triggers something quite nostalgic in me. I don't know why, but it does. It feels a bit like you're playing Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 with your friends again.
It's very slapstick in nature a lot of the time as well, because you'll throw your airstrike and you'll Like, you'll think it's fine, but then you'll just see little Chris wandering into the airstrike zone. You'll be like, Chris.
Yeah. Unless you're playing with the Northern boy, and then it's guaranteed.
Oh, yeah. Or we have fun on defense rounds where we kind of set our own rules, where it's like, you can only bring mines and mortars.
Oh, my God. After we played that, I was crying. I could not see. It was so funny.
It's ridiculous.
It was so funny. Tim.
Yeah.
I want to talk to you about a Florida story.
Yes, hit me up with this, because I actually don't know what this is about.
So, in the running order, I've put Florida police shootout, Acorn.
Yeah.
This is something that happened, I think it was October or November last year, but it's just been settled in court as to actually what happened. It was, you can read about it from The Guardian on the 16th of February, so it's a couple of weeks old now. Two police were called to a scene where a man who had a restraining order against him was approaching his ex-girlfriend's house. He obviously shouldn't have been there, so they went, they arrested him, they handcuffed him, they put him in the back of an SUV. One officer was with the handcuffed man in the SUV. The other was taking a statement from the victim, right?
Sure.
All of a sudden, the body cam image you see is from the person taking the statement, and you just hear, "Shots fired! Shots fired!" And the other officer obviously does what they should, and they get the people inside safety, and then they hide behind a car. Where did it come from? Where was it? And the officer who shouted shots fired said inside the SUV. So the assumption is the man who's in the SUV has shot at the police officer.
Sure.
Now, the officer who was taking the statement then returns fire at the SUV. The man wasn't hit. He was fine. He was obviously shook up because he's been shot at multiple times by a police officer. Now, the officer who shouted shots fired has been suspended. And the reason that he shouted shots fired, he genuinely believed shots were fired. What actually happened was an acorn fell off of a tree and hit the car, causing a light dink,
yep,
which he believed to be a gun. So both body cams have been released. And it's just, oh God, Tim, it's depressing how shit they are.
I have found a great news story here about an arrest.
Okay.
This is going back from a couple of years ago. I'm going to go on this shortened version of the article. Woman arrested for training squirrels to attack her ex-boyfriend.
Say no more. Love it.
So this is an article from 102.9 The Buzz from 2017, but I got sent this article, hit by someone at work. I've considered arson. I've considered castration. But I must have been thinking this through entirely wrong. I could see what he loved about her. Must have been a beautiful smile. This is Janice, 45, former circus animal trainer from Detroit. I don't know what you call her other than a squirrel whisperer for all the wrong reasons. She was recently arrested for training squirrels to attack her 51-year-old ex, and it worked. The dude ended up losing a couple of fingers and part of his manhood for it. The poor dude had no idea why he'd suddenly get attacked by squirrels until he saw her. Quote, She was particularly hidden behind some bushes, but I could see her and hear her. She was yelling orders at the squirrels and telling them to attack me. The Detroit police have said, Mrs. Smith confessed to capturing and training squirrels to harass and attack her ex-boyfriend. She used to train lions at a circus, so it was easy for her to make the animals to do what she wanted. She said she soon hoped to raise an army of 50 or 100 animals. Since then, she's been arrested and charged with several criminal charges. If you're going to date a circus trainer, you should probably stay with her forever, or else this will happen.
Jesus Christ.
I don't know. I've no idea if it's real or not. There's no way it's real. Yeah, squirrels.
Squirrels.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about Willy Wonka?
Oh, Tim, you must have seen the Willy Wonka Experience.
Absolutely. It's been all over TikTok.
It is so funny.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
It really is. Now, Tim, explain to me, what is the gift that keeps on giving?
The gift that keeps on giving. Willy Wonka, famous fictional chocolatier, known around the world for the Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory story. Someone has seen this concept and decided to take advantage of it and create a one-time amusement park thing in a warehouse called Willy's Wonderland. And I think tickets were about £35.
£35, yeah.
£35. I don't even know where to begin describing it.
Okay, let me start, Tim. So, sure. So it was pitched as a family fun day.
Yep.
The whole website used AI-generated images of a Willy Wonka chocolate wonderland experience. And when people got there, what were they greeted with?
An empty room and some
dirty warehouse with pictures of chocolate rather rushed and stuck to the wall. Some props that were really, really poor. And some of the... I genuinely felt sorry for the actors.
You haven't been paid, by the way.
Haven't they? I mean, that doesn't surprise me. Some of the most disheveled-looking actors, because they just have been worn down by these poor people who've been scammed out of their money.
Yeah.
But my favourite part, my absolute favourite part, they invented a villain.
Oh, this is like the unknown or whatever it is.
The unknown is just a guy in a silver mask that dances and hides behind a mirror.
A very thin IKEA mirror.
But the actors were given AI-generated scripts.
Were they really?
Yeah, and they apparently made no sense whatsoever. And the people who paid £35 a ticket were expecting things like sweets and chocolate as they went round. Do you know how much chocolate they were given on the experience?
No.
2 jelly beans and a glass of milk.
What a day. I know one dad called the police.
Yeah, no, I think multiple people called the police and people confronted the owner, who told them to, quote, fuck off, which is just wild.
That's amazing.
The thing is, I think if it was open now, people would go because it's funny.
And I would probably do
quite well. But I think the guy is just so ashamed that he's not gonna do it.
No,
I loved it. It's so good.
Wonderful little pocket of information that just seems to keep leaking. I don't know if you saw like the Oompa Loompas that were behind the bar, and one of them just looked like depressed to be there. Someone pointed out that the sign is, so how do you spell Willy as in Willy Wonka?
W-I-L-L-Y.
So all the signage and all the advertising for this never uses the word Wonka, and it uses W-I-L-L-I-E-S. And the current speculation is that was their way around legal.
That doesn't surprise me.
No. No. But if anyone has not seen or heard of this, this is a rabbit hole you need to explore.
It's so good.
I wish I went. I really do.
Do you?
I want to be there. This is the kind of weird shit I live for.
So here is an actor, a quote. Okay, this is good. There were kids in costumes better than ours, crying. We as actors were brought in last minute and we did our best for the kids. Connell also noted that the word contract was misspelt on his contract. It's just absolutely unbelievable. And that's found in the Hollywood Reporter.
So it's made worldwide news.
It has made worldwide news.
Well, the guy should be using that for like his own benefit, being like, look at the world famous Willy's Wonderland.
Willy's Wonderland.
The alliteration's already there.
It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm so impressed.
Should we do another Asian snack?
Yeah, what do you want to do?
Well, I've got something different here. I had Chinese for dinner, and I've got some fortune cookies. One for you, one for me.
Okay. Well, I don't get the fortune cookie, so this is
shit. No, but you get the fortune.
I don't want the fortune. They're always just AI generated garbage.
Look, it's the unknown. Or we can do our.
No. You should open them. I really want to hear what my garbage fortune is.
Do you want number one? This is number one. This is number two. Which one?
I'll
do you
have number one, please.
You'll have number one.
Okay. You have to eat both of the cookies.
Oh, I'm already so full.
No, you have to eat.
I've had Chinese and coconut.
No, you have to eat them.
Can I eat half of them to get?
No, I want you to eat the whole thing.
If I can get into it, Jesus, it's the Fort Knox of biscuits.
Tim, I'm going to make you try more things on this podcast.
There's no fortune in it. It's empty. All right, well, that's your fortune.
God, lucky me.
I know. All right, is this one the same? No, this one's complete.
Oh, great. Yeah, lovely. Really right, pleased about that one.
You have no fortune. I have. Let's have a look.
You will be stomped to death by a horse tomorrow.
It's actually quite the opposite. You will have a long and healthy life.
Well, there you go.
Well, apparently not, because I've ordered Chinese and eaten coconuts this evening.
That's how you know it's bullshit.
Yeah.
How you didn't even...
Did you? I know. I don't know why I did that. I just took a bite and didn't even chew it.
Tim just put half a fortune cookie in his mouth, cracked it with his teeth, and then took it back out again.
I don't know why I did that.
And then he ate it, which is even more... So have you ever seen Bevo?
Yes.
Bevo is someone who made it big on TikTok because he doesn't chew his food.
Yeah, it freaks me out.
Entire roast potatoes into his mouth and then just swallows. It is vile. Absolutely vile. Tim, I want to do a returning segment. Are you ready for your joke of the week?
Sure am. That's pretty funny, to be fair. That joke was weak. I misread that as that's the joke of the week.
Before we get into the joke of the week, Tim, let me explain what it is. So Tim and I will tell each other jokes. The idea is that we do not laugh at the other person's joke. If you lose, you will laugh at the joke, and that joke will become joke of the week. Tim, I'm feeling quite thirsty. I'd quite like a drink with my joke of the week. So what are we trying next?
There's this drink that I can't possibly read.
Okay.
So, Joe, would you like to describe the can?
More fucking coconut.
It is more coconut.
It's just covered in Japanese. Japanese?
This is Chinese, I think.
Chinese.
I recognize a few of the kanji. Like, next to the 35, that's the one for year.
That does not fill me with any confidence. it's just covered in Chinese writing. There are a few images. There's one of a lady holding up the can and pointing to it, but the hand pointing to it is behind her head.
I think that's a model, and if you look, there's a signature.
Very strange.
Now, I've had a coconut. Before.
Okay.
Because I quite like some of these like electrolyte drinks that you get at the Asian markets. In particular, Pocari Sweat. Not Prime. They don't do those at Asian markets. If they did, number one. Easy peasy. But it looks a bit like milk in the can.
Oh, Tim, this looks fucking horrible.
It's actually pretty good. Are you ready?
Okay. No.
You don't look impressed.
It's like sugary milk. I will not be finishing that.
No.
Fucking horrible, Tim.
No, I quite like it.
No, that was... No.
And that's the joke of the week.
That is so horrible. Why would you choose to drink that?
It's nice. Mm-mm. Like coconut water.
Mm-mm. Then I got a really chewy bit of fucking coconut in the other drink.
Yeah, this coconut nightmare.
Ugh. God, that was... Ugh, that's horrible.
Done?
It's so bad I'm putting the ring pull inside it so I don't trick myself into drinking it later.
Okay. I think that's the last of the Asian snacks we've got, isn't it?
No, we've got Pocari Sweat.
Oh, I don't have a can of that with me, but I already know what that's like.
Okay, cool. We'll do that before the end. It's not an energy drink, is it?
No, it's an electrolyte drink. That one's my favorite.
I'll be up all night. It's not fucking coconut flavor.
No, it's grapefruit.
Okay, cool. Tim, how many jokes do you have?
6.
I have 9, so I'll go first.
Sure.
Okay. What did one Frenchman say to the other?
What?
I don't speak French.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
All right, that nearly got me, round one.
Yeah.
A guy is washing your turn. Yeah. A guy is washing a car with his son, and the son asks, why can't you use a sponge?
Saw it coming, I'll be honest with you.
Okay.
Why is 6 afraid of 7?
Why?
Because 7 murdered his entire family.
Pretty rational. Of 6?
Not of 7, yeah, certainly.
Grandad always said that when one door closes, another opens. Smart man, awful cabinet maker.
I think I said that one.
Have you?
I think so. What did the farmer say when he lost his tractor?
What?
Where's my tractor?
Yeah, it's reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
I once got stuck in an elevator, now I actively take steps to avoid them.
Very good. What do you call a pudgy sidekick?
Go on.
Fortune teller.
Good.
Yeah.
Very good. Yeah, mm-hmm. All right. Man and his daughter walking through a field, and the daughter says, look, a flock of cows. And the dad says, herd of cows. He goes, yes, I've heard of cows. There's a flock of them over there.
Bad. I like it. Okay, so I was driving home the other day, and there's a hitchhiker, and he's wearing these dirty clothes and a briefcase, but I thought, it's all right, I'll give him a lift. And he's in the car, and I'm driving, and I say, what's in the briefcase? He goes, none of your business. Thought, okay, no problem. Carried on driving. And then a couple of miles down the road, I thought, I'll try again. But what's in the briefcase? He went, none of your fucking business. I went, okay. Carried on driving down the road, a couple of miles. What's in the briefcase? And he went, stop, I'm getting out. I stop, he gets out, and I drive along, and I'm a couple of miles down the road, and I look over at his seat. He's left the briefcase in there. Now, what would you ask?
What's in the briefcase?
None of your fucking business.
Okay. Well done. All right, well done. That's pretty funny, to be fair. That joke was weak. I misread that. That's the joke of the week.
Can I be honest? I could hear you sighing through the middle of that jingle, Tim.
Can I be honest?
Go on.
It's because I feel a little bit sick after eating Chinese food and having all these Asian sweets.
Yummy, yummy.
Oh, God.
Tim, movie club.
What were we going to watch?
Well, we were meant to watch Bullet Train.
Oh, yeah.
What did you think?
Good. Very fun movie with lots of interconnecting parts. Felt like a Guy Ritchie film.
Yeah, it did feel like a Guy Ritchie film, to the point where I told someone and they thought it was a Guy Ritchie film. So basically the premise of Bullet Train is good fun. It's a hitman is hired to go and remove a briefcase from a train. And you find out that the train is full of hitmen hired to kill the other hitmen who are hired to kill the other hitmen who are hired to remove the briefcase from the train. It was wild. I fucking loved this film.
It's super fun. Like it's breakneck speed in terms of pacing.
Yeah, it is.
But it's just one thing after another after another after another. But it doesn't feel like it leaves you behind.
My favorite were the two Cockney brothers in quote marks,
Tangerine and
Lemon.
That's it.
And I think the reason I really liked it is because Tangerine was really good at reading people, but the way that he read people was to compare them to Thomas the Tank Engine characters.
Yeah.
And he used to say, like, that he would say, if he was looking for the person who was behind it all, like the really bad guy on the train. And when he found them, he's like, you're such a fucking diesel. So good. And every time you saw them, they played West Ham's anthem, I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles. But the tone of I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles matched the mood of what they were feeling in the scene. So when it was a sad version, it was a sad version of I'm Forever Blowing Bubbles. But when it was a fight scene, it was a really hyped up version. I thought it was really clever.
Yeah, so it's pretty clear that a lot of like thought and you know time was put into this. It was really cool.
Good. Really cool. I'm not mad on Brad Pitt a lot of the time, but he played this role very well.
Well, I was saying this to someone at work today, funnily enough. Brad Pitt always just plays Brad Pitt.
Yeah. Not in Snatch. Then he plays
Mickey.
Mickey, yeah. He's very good in Snatch.
Oh, he's amazing in Snatch. But this, it felt like Brad Pitt in an appropriate context. Like, yes, it was Snatch. Still Brad Pitt. Yeah, it felt like Brad Pitt and Snatch again. Great. I loved the Snake Venom fight scene.
Yes. Yeah, so the Snake Venom fight scene, there's a character whose preferred way of killing people is to get their snake to bite them, and the snake that bites them, it congeals the blood.
Yeah.
And it makes it so thick that it can't flow in their veins. Yeah, it was great. They both got infected. And he tricked her into revealing where the antidote that she had was, and he saved himself, and she died and oozy bloody mess. But very, very cool.
Have you ever heard of a snake called a boomerslanger?
No, I've heard of it, and I can't remember why.
So I think I might have talked about it with you.
Is it not a boomerslanger?
Boomerslanger, not a boomerslanger. Okay, boomerslanger. When I went to go and see Randy Feltface, he talked about it in the opening part of his act, and he was saying that the snake has a venom, and what this venom does is make its target bleed from every orifice until it's dead. Now, what scientists have found is that this in no way aids digestion. It's just being a dick.
I like it.
Yeah, if I was reincarnated, I'd be one of them.
Yeah, I'd be Diesel.
Oh yeah, you're so fucking Diesel.
I'm Gordon, mate. You're Percy, if anything.
What do you mean?
You're Percy.
So I've got one last thing that I want to talk about.
That's a really niche thing that only a few people realise that I'm insulting you when I say that. So Tim, sorry, before we move on to move from Movie Club, what do you want us to watch for next episode? What can the listeners join in on watching?
Didn't I pick Bullet Train? Or
no, I picked Bullet Train.
What can we watch? Do you know what? I've been wanting to watch this recently. I want to watch the Korean Old Boy.
I'm so glad you said that. It's one of my favorite films.
I love this movie so much, but I need to rewatch it.
It is one of the absolutely immense.
One of the greatest revenge films ever made.
Please, listener, if you haven't seen the Korean version of Old Boy, do not waste your time with the American version.
Nope.
It is bad. Watch the Korean original Old Boy. You will not regret it.
No, it's a phenomenal movie, and I'm very excited to be rewatching it. I've got one more thing that I've added to the running order, and then I think I'm out of stuff.
Okay, cool.
I've written the words Pepe coin. This isn't the return of the crypto wallet. Don't you worry. Okay. But if you cast your mind back to the end of season one.
If you ever think about buying money online, don't fucking do it, it's a waste of time.
So if you cast your mind back to season one, we had the crypto wallet. And at the end of that season, I said that I was going to withdraw my funds and buy Payne a DLC for The Sims with the money.
Yeah.
Bought the DLC, Muggins here forgot to withdraw the funds. Right?
Okay, cool.
So I happened to open up my crypto wallet today because we were talking about it, and I was like, "I wonder if there's anything."
Have you diversified?
No, I've consolidated. If anything,
okay.
But do you happen to remember what we ended on last time? I was down 12p.
12p.
So £29.88.
Something like that. Yeah.
I opened up my wallet today. Do you want to take a guess at what's in there?
£13.55.
£244.07.
Fuck off.
Right there.
From what?
From Pepe Coin.
Pepe Coin?
It's what spiked in the last 2 days.
What?
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
No,
Get out now, Tim.
Well, I'm certainly trying, but turns out Binance, the thing I use, is under investigation or something. So I've got to migrate it to Coinbase first, and then I can get it out.
So, I'm sorry, hold on. Not only are you, did you invest in something that is a talking frog.
Yes.
A frog meme. Now you're showing off that. How much did you have in there at first?
30.
30, yeah. And now that's worth 244?
Yep.
But is it, though? Because you can't use the fucking thing.
I can use it. I just have to transfer it out to a different thing first.
So what you have is imaginary money on an imaginary screen.
Well, that's what crypto really is, really. Mm, but
it's true.
I now have more imaginary money.
Tim, Pepe Coin might be one of the only things that's gone up, and it's gone up 1,600% in the last year.
I'm like, if I look at the chart for Pepe Coin, let me just grab it here real quick. If I do the last year. I don't know if you can see that on your screen if I do that.
Yeah, it's very low until the last few
couple
days.
Of days.
It goes very high.
Yeah. So I've got a lot more money in there now.
Well done.
For doing nothing. And
I think, if I remember rightly, I said, Tim, sell all your Dogecoin and invest in Pepe Coin. And when it hits £244, give me 50% of it.
I'll need to listen back to the episodes.
But that sounds right, doesn't it?
I mean, it does sound like something you would say, but I'd think I'd want to, like, you know, audio recording, like calls are recorded kind of thing.
I could send you a voice recording of me saying it if you want.
I feel like you're just going to do that now.
No. Tim, sell all your Dogecoin and invest in Pepe Coin. And when it hits £244, give me 50% of it. But I'm glad you took my advice, and maybe we'll look at the contracts later.
Maybe.
Not maybe, definitely. Anything else you want to go through, Tim?
No, that's about it.
Okay.
I've been a long old episode.
I forgot to play this at the start.
Pub quiz question of the week. Not a jingle, that's a sound effect at best.
We have there is a fucking jingle, Tim. There we go, Tim. That's what we have there is a fucking jingle. So, Tim, pub quiz question of the week was something about American time zones.
It was.
As in Pacific, Middle, Central, and the other one.
Eastern. You're very close.
It's Pacific, Central, Pacific, Central, Central, Eastern, and Eastern.
It is not. So the question was, there are four time zones in the continental United States. Can you name them? It is, this is going from west to east, Pacific, Mountain, Central, and Eastern.
Mountain?
Mountain.
Don't fucking use it, Mountain.
Mountain time. That's a thing between Pacific
Shut
and Central.
Up, it's Mountain time, I
it's
think.
It's true.
Mountain time sounds like something you get in a bear strip club.
It's Mountain time.
Manta. Or it sounds like something that a horse would say to you before you start a race.
That's true. Mountain time. Did you see the horse that bit a guy on the tit?
Yeah, you put that in the running order but didn't want to talk about it.
I just figured it didn't have any relevance, but now it does.
There's a video of a horse biting a man in the tit.
And he really pulls him into the road. Like, did you see the video?
It looks like it would hurt.
Well, there was a guy, the guy was on Reddit, as it turns out, and he posted a photo of the aftermath and like, there's a big old circular bruise right on his tit and it's bleeding.
I'm not surprised. It really, really bit him on the tit.
But I was reading about it and this guy on Reddit was like, the horse basically will bite as a warning. And then someone was like, why would the horse see the guy as a threat? It's significantly smaller. And someone else was like, horses are really dumb. It can't pick up that it's like a 1,600 pound animal and that's a 160 pound man. It can't see the difference.
Well, it looked very sore, and I did feel sorry for the man.
What is the thing that horses do? I think it's called I think it's called like cribbing or something.
No, that's griddying.
Oh yeah, they hit the griddy. they do this thing called cribbing, and this is how fucking dumb these animals are. They'll go over to a fence or something solid, and they'll sink their teeth into it and just suck in air, right? Until they're like too bloated and they have to get a vet out to like deflate the horse so it'll let go.
That's how I'm going to do after this recording.
Just start cribbing.
I'm going to go cribbing. go grim him. Right, Tim, I hated your pub quiz question. Do better next week.
All right, fair enough.
Anything you want to say to our... no, do you want to do any plugs?
Yeah, it's at Wembembo on everything except Pokemon Go, where it's at Wembemgo. If you're unsure, look for my billboard.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll hear the billboard again soon. I want to plug Dan from Casting Views.
Again?
Josh from Talking Smack.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, everyone in the PodPack Collective.
Yes, that's new for us.
Which we are part of now. Find them on Twitter. Lovely group of people, and actually really, really high quality podcasts in there. Yeah. So Chat Tsunami, Seismic Cinema, there's a streamer in there called Robotic Battle Toaster, I think his name is. He does some really good streams. And there seems to be loads of people joining their Discord, so join the PodPack Collective Discord, join our Discord, and keep us up to date. Let us know if you have any questions for Gaetano.
And our Discord member of the week, again, if you want to be in the running to be the Discord member of the week, join the Discord. That's all you have to do.
Forgot we did this nonsense.
So did I. The Discord member of the week is Tommy. Good shit, Tommy. I don't know if I've ever seen you talk in there, but you're the member of the week.
It's my old barber.
Oh, there you go.
I spoke about him in one of the really early Game Club pod episodes.
And he joined.
And there he is. What a legend.
Look at him now.
Not a barber anymore.
Member of the week.
Member of the week. You could aspire to be that too. Tim, is there anything you want to say to our listeners?
Take that, you bastards.
Take that, you sexy bastards. We'll see you in a week's time.
Bye.
Bye.